Thank you all for being here this morning. I want to use some scripture this morning that's probably quite familiar to all of you, and maybe just give you one thought here. The words of Philip when he spoke to the Ethiopian eunuch, when he said, "Understandest thou what thou readest? Understandest thou what thou readest?" I'm going to go back and pick it up from where this starts, but let me just say in the beginning that often people ask me why we have so many different churches and why we have so many different beliefs and why we have so many different interpretations of the word. Even among our own denominations, and we Baptists are not unique in that. We're not the only ones, though most people think of us as being one of the most controversial, and I suppose probably we are. We allow more freedom than probably most do. You've heard me say many, many times, you can believe whatever you want to, and you can, and I'm a firm believer in that. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're right, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're wrong either. I know that many times people differ with me. But let me just assure you that the basic reason that we have so many different interpretations and beliefs concerning the work of the Lord and the Word of the Lord is simply because the Word is spiritually discerned. You know, you can't understand it unless you are a spiritual person. Now, that's just a matter of fact, right out of the Word of the Lord, that His Word is spiritually discerned. Lost people do not understand the Word of the Lord. And we have difficulty as God's children even getting that concept in our heads. And we just think they need to understand all of these things. They ought to be able to know what the Word of the Lord says. And the truth of the matter is they cannot because they are not spiritual. And you may say, well, you know, they do all these things. They pray, they talk and everything. I'm sorry. There's only one way that you can be spiritual, and that is that you've been born again, that you are a child of God. And again, I base that upon what the Word of the Lord says. So I think probably that one of the reasons there are so many different interpretations and there are so many isms and schisms even among our own people is that we have people who are not spiritual. And they're doing everything they can. They're people who spend their lives in trying to understand what the Word of the Lord says. It's interesting that the Lord in His Word teaches that He takes the weaker things and the base things to confound the wise. And so, you know, we need to understand that there is a means whereby that we can understand the Word of the Lord, and it takes the Holy Spirit of God to give us that understanding. You've heard me quote many times that the Apostle Paul, writing to the young preacher Timothy, said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And he was writing to the young preacher Timothy. And so, you know, we do need to understand. We need to study. Then we also need to ask that the Lord would give us understanding of His Word. And that again is taught in His Word. But I want to go back now and pick up with Philip here as he speaks with the eunuch of Ethiopia. And says, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Now, I want you to get this picture I think that it's important that we understand what's going on. It isn't just enough to know, well, preacher got up there and said, do we understand what we're reading? Sometimes we as God's children have a tendency even to take the Word of God and we want to pull it out of context and we want to make it fit what we think or what we believe. And doing so, we cause in even for more of the isms and the schisms. We you know, God's Word is powerful. God's Word is accurate. God's Word is true. It is God's Word, and we need to understand it. And it's all good. It is all good. We have quite a thing going in our Sunday school class all the time about the Old and the New Testaments and all the bloodiness and the gore that's in the Old Testament. Well, it is. But that's life, folks. Let's just be realistic about it. And let me tell you something. You that got this idea that God is so goody good up here and he'd never allow anything like that to happen, you better get back over there and read the Word again. Because I want you to know he can be tough. He can be tougher than any of us want to even imagine. And he wasn't just always saying to his children, oh, it's all right, you just go ahead and do whatever you want to, and I'll just say, I forgive you, I forgive you. He didn't do that. You got to get into the Word of God and see. He doesn't do that in the New Testament. He doesn't say, go out here and just do whatever you want to. And then when you get ready to say, I'm sorry, I'll just forgive you of everything. Let me tell you something, people. Sin always has a price to be paid. And it doesn't matter whether it's a sinner that's been saved or a sinner that's lost, it's still going to be a price to be paid. It just depends on when we're going to pay. Those that are lost are going to pay after death. Those of us who are saved are going to pay as we live here upon the face of the earth. And don't ever think for a second you're going to stand as a child of God before the great I Am and then have to be punished. Heaven isn't a place of punishment. Never has been, never will be. Hell is a place of punishment. And that's where the wicked, that's where the dead are going to go. That's where the spiritually dead are going to go. We need to understand some of these things. But let me tell you this morning that sometimes we get this idea that we can just kind of do whatever we want to. Well, even Philip here, the Word of the Lord says, you know, he was getting along pretty good. He was having a pretty good time, spiritually speaking. But the Word of the Lord came to him and spoke unto him and said, I've got something for you to do. Every child of God has a work to do. Every single one of us. I tell every once in a while, I used to, and I'll elaborate a little more on that, but let me just give you the other part. God blesses every single one of his children with a talent. And I say that, and I always think of my mom. Every time I would say that, I can still in my mind look back there and see my mom shaking her head no. Now, Mom didn't disagree with me on most things, and if you disagreed with me, Mom was right in the middle of you. But Mom would shake her head. No, she didn't have a talent. God didn't give her a talent, you know. Well, I never tell that about people, but I'm a firm believer that God blesses every single one of us with a talent. And sometimes we just need to work a little harder at finding what our talent is. What is even more important is that we allow the Lord to lead us and to guide us. And Philip's down here and he's enjoying himself. He's having a good time spiritually. And the Lord speaks to him and says, I've got a job for you to do. I've got some work for you. God's going to speak to your heart. He's not going to speak to your head. If you're a child of his, he speaks through your heart. And you know him. You know his voice. He says so in his word. He says, my sheep know my voice. You know when the Lord's dealing with you. You don't have to ask me. You don't have to ask anyone else. You know when God is dealing with you. I know when he's dealing with me. I don't have to say, well, I wonder if the deacons think maybe the Lord's dealing with my heart. They couldn't tell you. They know whether he's dealing in their heart. Sunday school teachers can't tell whether or not the Lord's dealing with you. But you know in your heart when God is speaking to you as one of his children. My sheep hear my voice, and the voice of another they will not follow. Listen, let me tell you, we do know when God has a work for us to do. Now, a lot of times we come up with every excuse under the sun. I'm going to preach from experience here, and you're going to find out a little later why I say that. But it's true. It's true. When God is dealing with us, we all of a sudden, you know, we want to think of everybody and everything else that could do it. Philip, you get up and you go down into the desert. Now, Philip, according, it doesn't say in the word of the Lord that he said, well, why do you want me to go down there? Why would you want me to go out there? There's nothing out there for me, you know. But there was. I believe with everything there is about me this morning that when God is working in your heart as one of his children and has a work for you to do, he's working in the heart of someone that's lost out here that needs help. That needs help. And you may just be the person that's going to give them that help. Philip, you get up and go down to the desert. He gets up and he goes down there. And as he goes down there, there's a fellow riding along in a chariot. He's been up to Jerusalem. He's been up there to worship. He's been up there to pay his vows. He's been up there to do what all the other people had done. But he's as lost as a goose in a snowstorm. He doesn't have a clue as to what's going on. And that's the problem with a lot of our people today. They're as lost as can be, and they don't have a clue as to what's going on because the work is spiritual. The word is spiritual. Now, some of you are looking at me like you're just in total disdain this morning, but that's all right. I'm just telling you like it is. Let me tell you this morning. This old boy is riding along in the book, and he's reading out of the book of Isaiah. He's reading about the prophecy that Isaiah had given concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Philip gets down here in the desert where he is, the Spirit, and look in your Bible, and it's capitalized. That means that's the third part of the Godhead. It's not just spirits or spirit. It's the Holy Spirit speaks unto Philip and says, you go near and join yourself to his chariot. You get right up there with him. Now, Philip, he didn't say, well, I don't know. You know, he's a pretty important man. He was important. He was a high-ranking official. He was the treasurer of the Queen of Ethiopia. He handled more money than most of us will ever see in our lifetime. He was an intelligent man, obviously. He was a highly respected individual. He had all of the attributes that we like to see in our people today. But he was lost. Philip, you go down there and you get up there and join yourself to his chariot. So Philip ran down there and he heard the old boy reading from the book of Isaiah. I guess Frankie must have been reading out loud. I rarely ever read out loud except in church. I don't read out loud to myself when I'm at home. Now some of you may, that's okay if you do that. At least you're reading. Some don't even read. But he was reading from the book of Isaiah, and so Philip said to him, he said, understandest thou what thou readest? Do you understand what it is you're reading about? Now listen. And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? How can I understand except some man should guide me? I don't understand. I don't make any pretense about it. How can I understand except somebody should guide me? Lost people do not understand when we begin to talk about conviction and we begin to talk about conversion and we begin to talk about all of the work of the Lord and everything. They don't understand that, folks. You just go out here and walk up to somebody and say, are you under conviction? They're going to think you're crazy. Now, you might go up to them and say, you know, Do you feel like maybe there's something missing in your life? Or do you feel, you can ask them all kinds of things and maybe get it down to where they can understand it to some degree. But they don't understand it like you and I are supposed to understand it because we have been through it. We know what it is to be under conviction. We know what it is to be converted. Every single one of us as a child of God know exactly what happened in our heart. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We know when God saved our soul. Yeah. I know. I love the old blind boy. I say old. I don't guess he was old. He said, you know, he said, all of these things you all are asking me about, I don't know. But he said, there is one thing that I know. He said, I know that whereas I was blind, now I see. Now, that one thing I know. You see, there are some things that I know. There are some things I believe. There are some things I think. They're not all necessarily the same. But there's one thing I know this morning, that I've been saved. And I know who saved me, and I know when he saved me, I know where he saved me, and I know that he did. I know I'm one of his children, and I know when I leave this world that I'm going to be with him. I know that. I know that as surely as I know anything at all this morning. Do you understand what's written? No, he said, how can I except some man should guide me? Well, let me tell you something else I know, folks. Lost people who do not understand, when you begin to talk to them and all of the terminology that we use as Christians, understand this. They understand whether you are sincere, and they understand whether you truly care about them or not. And I'm going to tell you how they understand that. It isn't because that you have that ability within yourself, but that's what the Lord is able to do whenever that he begins to deal with them as he's dealing with you. It takes the power of God to be able to touch the hearts of those that are lost. But they need to know that somebody cares about them, that somebody loves them. Yeah, and we're supposed to love. We're supposed to not only love one another, but we're supposed to love them that are lost. And so he said, how can I accept some man should guide me? And listen, and he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. He wanted Philip to come up and sit with him. One of the most common excuses that we as God's people use is, say, well, I don't really think they're interested. I don't really think they care. I don't really, we come up with all these things. The truth of the matter is, many times they are hurting because God is already dealing with them and convicting them in their hearts of sin, and they need help. They need someone to guide them. How can I understand except some man should guide me? The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Now those are the words that old Isaiah had prophesied concerning the coming of the Lord. I think probably that most of us would be able to read those and would be able to tell just from those words right there who Isaiah was speaking of. But now listen. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. If there is nothing else that you leave with here today, then this one thought. When you have the opportunity to talk to someone who's lost, I hope that you talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't need to know about Elkton Baptist Church. They don't need to know about the Pastor Kent Parson. They don't need to know how big we are or how small we are or how long we've been here. Now, these things may all be important to us, but to the lost person, the most important thing that you can talk to them about is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't want you to just run up and grab them by the nape of the neck and start trying to force it down them. You can't force feed them. But I'll guarantee you that with it coming out of love from your heart, And under the leadership of the Holy Spirit of the Lord, it will have an effect. But they don't need to know whether or not we Baptists believe this and those of the Presbyterians don't believe that and the Camelites don't believe this and on and on. That's none of their business. And the truth of the matter is, most of the time, we don't know enough about it to be talking about it ourselves. I don't know what the Presbyterians believe. And so I'm not going to be critical of them. Oh, I've read a little bit about what Presbyterians believe, but that doesn't mean I know it. I sometimes don't know what Baptists believe. I think I know. And then I look and see sometimes what we do, and I think, well, Lord, either one of two things. Either we don't believe that, or we're believing something and practicing a lie. But let me tell you something. The Bible says that Philip began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Yeah, that's who you need to hear about, is Jesus Christ. You know why? Because there's nothing wrong in him. There's nothing you can find fault with him. Even Pilate, whenever he wanted so badly to be able to get off the hook of having to pronounce the death sentence upon him, wanted to find something, and finally had to say, I find no fault in him. I cannot find a single thing in him. Neither can you. Isn't that wonderful that we can talk to people about someone that there is absolutely no fault at all in him? You see, lost people have a tendency to want to look at you and me, and whenever we begin to talk about the Lord and we talk about their condition, they want to look at somebody else and point out. They'll pick out the weakest person they can find. They'll pick out, well, that church is full of hypocrites. Well, you're right, it is. Yeah, just full of them. But there may be some of them that are saved. And that's what's important. It's not whether or not the church is full of hypocrites. What is important is whether or not you're saved. That's the thing right there. We've got to tell them about the Lord. Talk to them about themselves, not about everybody else. And Philip began, and he preached unto him Jesus. Now listen. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, I'm convinced that in the process of his preaching unto the eunuch, that Philip must have talked about baptism. Our people get scared to death anymore about preaching about baptism because it is so exclusive. Well, let me tell you something. It's taught in the Word of the Lord. Jesus himself set the example for us. Now, I know I've been on this the last two or three weeks pretty hard, but I'm not choosing to do this myself, but I just want you to know that. But he set the example. His original disciples were all baptized individuals. He sent them out, and when he gave the authority to the church after he was going to go back to heaven, and part of the commission was to baptize. The day of Pentecost, when people got saved, they got baptized. There's always been an orderliness to that and a sequence to it, and then salvation and then baptism. Always was. Didn't get baptized and then get saved. I've been doing some studying, and obviously some of you were looking at the thief on the cross, and obviously there's probably one of the best examples of where that it would prove that baptism is not essential to salvation. But anyway, the eunuch says unto Philip, he says, here's much water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? What would keep me from being baptized? Now listen. You Baptists, listen very carefully. The rest of you can listen if you want. I don't know whether I've got anybody else here or not except Baptists, but if I do, that's all right. You listen too. Listen to what Philip said. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Now here's why I want you Baptists to all listen. There is not one single word in there that says, now Philip said, if you'll go up to Jerusalem and you'll go before the church up there and ask them if you can be baptized, then you can. That is what he said. He said, what hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. That's the only prerequisite there is to baptism is salvation. When a man believes with all of his heart, that's what the Bible says. I didn't say that. I didn't make this up. There was a prerequisite to baptism. Now somebody goes, oh, you don't have a proper authority. Yes, I do. I've got the proper authority. I've got the proper mode. I've got the proper administrator. I've got everything it takes to constitute baptism. Philip had received his authority from the church in Jerusalem before he went down there. Go back and check me out. It's in there. And he's under the direct leadership of the Spirit of the Lord here. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's all he said. But that was enough. That's all any of us need to be able to say. I know. I believe. You see, we've got hung up any more people to the point to where they don't say just exactly like we think they should. Well, then they must not have it. Lord, when I first began preaching, if you'd have said accept Christ, I'd have not been able to preach in most of our churches that I've preached in over the years. But I found out that terminology meant the same to some people as it does for me to say if you get saved. Surely you start telling me that you shouldn't be using that, get saved. You don't get saved. That's kind of like I was thinking last night. I was watching the Gaither Gospel Hour, and they were singing a song, and I said, and I thought again to myself, and you all have heard me say this here. Why do we say blessed? Blessed assurance? When do you use blessed and when do you use blessed? They're both spelt the same, aren't they? Did Jesus say, blessed are those who thirst? Or did he say, blessed are those? Huh? I don't know the answer to that. Did you think I was going to get up here and tell you that I knew the correct pronunciation of it and the way I butcher everything else up? It's immaterial, isn't it? It's immaterial. But probably, if you think about it, when they wrote those songs, that's the way they wrote and intended them to be spoken or pronounced. I don't recall ever hearing anybody saying, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. It's always blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. I even listened not long ago to the Billy Graham group as they sang that. I say, okay, I'm going to check and see. Now, there's some people who ought to know. I don't know whether I have any English majors here or not. But that's one for you to cogitate on. And now listen. The eunuch said, I've got to hurry. The eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Hear that anymore? That was enough. Some of you feel like that your experience doesn't come up to the standard of somebody else. Some of you think, well, I didn't have that experience of getting saved as I come up out of the gymnasium of the Wheatland High School. Some of you don't have that experience of saying, I went to the altar 40 times. We have people who get in the habit of counting how many times they went to the altar before they got saved, and I think maybe one of the reasons they don't get saved is they're trying to set a new record. And they're more concerned about that than they are about getting saved. It's not how many times that you go or how few times you go. It's that you get all the way to the foot of the cross that the Lord can save your soul. That's what it takes. For some of us, I was bullheaded, stubborn, proud, all of the things that I shouldn't have been. And it took a little longer for the Lord to break my old stubborn heart down. But he got the job done. And when he did, he saved my soul. But I didn't get any more salvation than any of you got. And your experience may not have been anything like mine. But God saves you. You know it in your heart. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now listen. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. I believe that's Philip. And they went down both into the water. And both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Both went down in the water. Now, I'm out of time, but I'm going to take just a couple of more minutes. I'm going to end a little different today than usual. But anyway, they both went down in the water. And what I was going to tell you there is some of you have heard me tell a story about the one time that I had a church that I was pastoring that had one of these newfangled baptistries where that you put the candidate in a chair, in a seat in the baptistry, and you, the pastor, you stand back behind it, and you've got a lever back there. And when you get the candidate in the chair from out in front, it looks like he's standing up. You know, he's in deep water. But he's actually sitting down in this chair, and he's strapped in. Leave this, Mark. And when you baptize him, you know, you trip the lever, and down he goes, and you bring him back up. Well, I did that one time, and I said, I don't feel like I baptized him. Man, I'm used to getting in the water with him. I didn't even get wet, you know. Yeah, well, that's a pretty fancy fandangle thing, especially for a little country church out in this part of the country. But, buddy, let me tell you, well, it constituted baptism because we did it all the way we were supposed to. But the Bible says here that Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch both went down in the water, and he baptized him, and coming straightway up out of the water. That's the Bible now. That's not me. I'm just putting the emphasis on it. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Now, you wonder why I said earlier that he was lost, and now why I'm going to say he's found? First of all, he made his confession. He acknowledged the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. He was baptized, and the Spirit caught away Philip, and the Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing. I don't believe a lost person's got anything to rejoice about. Just like I've said a lot of times, a lot of Baptists don't have anything to shout about. I think that's one of the reasons we don't have any shouting Baptists anymore. We got to the point where we don't have anything to shout about. We used to have shouting Baptists, and they had something to shout about. Then we got some, they just would shout the shout. Well, that isn't worth anything either. So if that's all you got. Understandest thou what thou readest? He said, how can I, except that some man should guide me? I want to close a little different today. A few months ago, the Lord laid on my heart something that, Pam, if you weren't here, I wouldn't do. I want you to know that. I had an old boy that used to help me in funerals quite often, and he sang a song. Hadn't thought of it for years. And a song came to me, and I thought, Lord, I don't even know the song. I remember parts of it, but I really just felt sometime I was going to have to sing it, Pam. And I know to some degree why the Lord lay that on my heart. But I also know that, just as I said earlier, that I've come up with everything under the sun to not have to do it, because I, first of all, I'm not a good singer. And I want you to know that I want you to listen to the words of the song. And I know that for Floyd Griffin, who was the guy who sang it so many times, I could not do it justice. And so, Floyd, wherever you are today, I hope that you'll be understanding of me. The song is this. When I come to the crossing of the river someday, when the last winds of sorrow have blown, there'll be somebody waiting to show me the way. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Jesus died all my sins to atone. In the darkness I see, he'll be waiting for me. And I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Oftentimes I'm weary and troubled and sad when it seems that my friends have all gone. But there is one thought that cheers me and makes my heart glad. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Though the billows of trouble and sorrow may sweep, Christ the Savior cares for his own. Till the end of my journey, my soul he will keep, and I won't have to cross Jordan alone. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Jesus died all my sins to atone. In the darkness I see, he'll be waiting for me. And I won't have to cross Jordan. Oh, and one of these days we'll make the crossing. Now I don't clap, my goodness, that's...